Welcome back to the table for the Friday, October 18, 2024 installment of Market Plus. Back with us, Ross Baldwin, Jeff French. Just don't call him Jeff Ross. Right? We'll be fine. Are you the one delivering the one-liners?
That would be you.
That would be... No. I'm just reading what's put in front of me. All right. We had a really good discussion, long discussion there in the main show. But guess what? We still have a ton of questions. And I'm just going to start right here. Let's go Phil in Ontario first, because... Phil, I think, it's been a little while. So, you know, I think Phil, it's in his contract. He has to have his question every few weeks. It's been a long year of declining prices in 24. Is there new demand currently being reflected in the January 25 soybean contract offering some optimism for prices?
You know, new demand, you know, it's seasonal demand, as I would call it. I mean, this is a time where China should be buying our beans. We're bringing them in, you know, from harvest. Typically, this is some of the lowest prices that you'll see during the cycle. So new demand, I don't know if it's new, but it's seasonal demand. Now the market, you know, the Jan beans have closed 3 weeks lower consecutively. That contract, I would like it to above the 100-day moving average. And I think the 100-day moving average is 1060 area. That contract has not closed above that 100-day moving average since May 29th. So it's been a we challenged it there during the rally up to, you know, in September, but we weren't able to take that out. So it has been some significant resistance. So, you know, we'll just see. But closing below $10, not a very good look on those Jan beans this week.
I got to say, it did look kind of tough to see. And that's always that technical thing, right? I mean, it's just as much technical as it is psychological.
Well, yeah, technically it's a new low close for the move. And psychologically, it's a very low close, weak close on a Friday, which never, it really sits well over the weekend. What would be ultimate worse is if we gap lower Sunday night, then we'd look at contract lows, in my opinion.
All right. As we look at soybeans, I want to talk about soybeans that are coming out of the field. I mean, you both have been involved with harvest, and so you can answer this one, and we all hear it. Let's go Roger in Minnesota for this question, because I'm hearing 9, 10%, so is Roger on soybeans, 12% on corn. Does USDA take into account low soybean moisture content in recognizing the size of the crop, Jeff?
Not right now. I think that comes down the road, but no question, the beans are extremely dry, the corn is extremely dry, so that is added to the pace of harvest. I mean, you just don't want it sitting out there in the field when it's that dry, especially with warm, windy conditions that have been just plaguing the Midwest. So yes, the short answer is, you know, they will take it into account, but not till later.
Are you, I mean, you were telling, we were talking before we rolled, something about 12%?
Yeah, we've corn. Got... Corn in our area, 12 to 13% on corn. I've heard of soybeans, 7 to 8%, 7 being on the low end. And like Jeff said, no, the USDA is not going to take that into account right now. I don't think you'll see it taken into account in WASDE reports where that moisture, because there's no question that a 7% moisture on beans, it brings your yield down. Where that will get taken into account, I believe, is the quarterly stocks reports is where we should see that reflected, if it's going to be.
If. Has it? I mean, historically, does that ever happen?
Not in the monthly WASDE.
Yeah, so that's the unfortunate side of this dry side of things. But let's do Dan in Iowa for Ross here. Are you bullish or bearish at 243.50 January feeder cattle futures? And then you have to answer the why.
243.50. I believe feeder cattle had a nice rally here today, closed a dollar or so higher. So we're probably a little bit above that. Long term, bullish at 243.50. And when I say long term, I'll even drill down into over the next 40 days. I'm not wildly bullish feeders up here. The managed money crowd has piled back into the feeder cattle. They went from being short feeders here recently to they piled into the long side, where last week they were long. It was a little over 7,000 contracts, I believe, of feeders. That when they get up to, say, the 9 to 12,000 range on being long feeders, you start to get to where your downside's far greater than your upside. Can they go longer? Yes, they can. I believe their all-time record feeder length back in 2011 or 12 was about 20,000 contracts. They have the bullets to throw at this thing, but they've already priced in a significant amount of bullish news. So while feeders, we're sitting well off of our contract highs, I think we could, it's feeder cattle. You could put another $5 to $10 on them, but I still think at these levels, you got to be more mindful of the amount of downside that could loom out here, especially when they're holding a long position like this.
But I have an issue with that because no news, no common sense has made any sense here lately in this market.
Correct. The cattle market, I will say cash has been rallying. Cash trade has been higher for the last 6 to 7 weeks. Feeder cattle across the country have been screaming. I think a lot of that is due to the amount of cheap feed we've got around, and people would rather walk cheap corn to town than they would just to go sell it. But I agree with you. Some of these moves that we've seen across the marketplace, they've been erratic. They haven't seemed like they have made the most sense. And like we covered on the main show, I think you look at these equity markets and these managed money traders look at those and they have spilled that into the cattle market, the hog market, into the protein market, to where you look at the S&P and the Dow cranking out new all-time highs day after day. And while we don't think that is a direct reflection of the actual economy in Main Street America, they look at it and see that people got plenty of money and they're going to go eat a lot of protein. And so far, protein demand has been extremely strong. And I think U.S. beef demand domestically is stronger than we probably give it credit for.
Retail sales, another 0.4%, 3 months in a row, as we mentioned at the beginning of the show. If we go out for steak tonight after the show, we're going to have to wait.
Around here in Iowa, absolutely, yeah. Central Iowa.
All right, let's look at this Andy in Iowa question, shall we? Because, Jeff, which way can this corn market swing faster? Are we looking towards 350 or 450 come spring? The easy answer is usually, right, no resistance, we go lower and can go quicker lower, right?
Yeah, but I think we've kind of probed the lower. I mean, I would say 450. I mean, if you ask me right now, I think it just, we don't want to press it here anymore. What has been sold needs to be sold. And the farmer's going to keep those bins doors shut until they absolutely have to, which won't come for many, many months down the road. So I just don't see it. Now, if we start closing a couple days consecutively below $4, you know, do we test 385? You know, maybe we do, but it feels like we're putting in a bottom here.
Sunday is of big concern for you on soybeans more than corn, do I?
Absolutely.
And then what's your feeling on nervousness on Sunday and wheat?
Well, I just think with the uncertainty in wheat, I think the least path of resistance on the wheat is lower. And with what it is unknown out there regarding Russia, I think it's going to pull the wheat prices lower.
Well, Brandon's question here is, what's the chance hard red winter wheat futures hit $7?
You know, if you can tell me how much rain Kansas is going to get during the month of May, we will be able to answer that. But right
May
now,
of 25.
May of 25, yeah. Yes.
Okay. But they're supposed to get rain here in the next, I think I saw, 10 to 14 days, right? But
yes.
That's a long way to predict, and it's a long way to hang a market on when...
Again, you don't kill the wheat crop in October.
Right.
You know, we said that before, and that's...
Just had to make sure he still had that line. That's a good one. I wanted to make sure he got two uses out of it. I think that was good. All right. Ross, we were discussing before we rolled here, I asked if there was anything you wanted to mention, and there was one word that stood out to you. That was resilient in this cattle market. Hold that thought, because I want to ask Jeff the question first, though. Do you buy that livestock have been resilient to the sense that they don't make sense right now?
I don't think they make sense right now. They do not make sense. You know, they've closed higher for 7 weeks in a row. You know, stock market's been doing the same thing. So demand remains incredibly strong. So the markets can do irrational things far longer than you can remain solvent. So, you know, they're going to do what they're going to do. And right now it looks like they want to move higher.
You said that slaughter has been really high. There's been some, the weights are big. What else is making this market resilient?
A lot of it boils back to I think U.S. domestic demand is a lot stronger than we all give it credit for. Our exports have only been running 3 to 4% lower year over year, which is what the USDA is forecasting. Now, what's impressive is when weights are running consistently 20 to 30 pounds higher, the actual steer weights this last week are all new all-time record high. It was 28 pounds above a year ago. And when you have slaughter running at the levels it has with weights running 30 pounds higher, you're adding back a tremendous amount of tonnage. Now, slaughter year to date, it's about 3.5-3.8% lower year over year, but our beef production is only 0.6% lower because of the weights. Well, normally, you wouldn't think that's all that bullish because of big weights or means you're front end loaded on cattle because you got a lot of days on feed. But where the cutout market sold off recently, and we actually went below 300 on the choice cutout, I wasn't entirely surprised by it because of the big weights. What I will admit I've been surprised by is how quick the cutout has went back up to 320. We've put about $25 on in the cutout in like 20 days. Mm-hmm. It's been impressive. And for the cutout to bounce back like that, that is a reflection of demand. Because that cutout, the Packers didn't back off kills enough for the cutout to scream like that if demand isn't out there. And I think the demand is still out here, and it shows the resiliency of this market.
Last thing, as we look at this harvest pace, we talked about piles, we talked about pressure. A couple of lines about basis out there. Are you hearing anything that basis is abnormal for this situation right now, or is it kind of tracking to what normally happens in October?
You know, I think, you know, depending on where you're at, your location, I mean, you'll know your basis better than anybody. But in my area, it's pretty normal right now. We're 20 to 25 under on corn and 40 to 50 under on beans right now. So, I mean, it's, you know, pretty normal right now.
All right. That's Jeff French. Thank you so much. Good to see you, Jeff.
Thanks, Paul.
Ross Baldwin, thanks for making the trip.
Thanks, Paul.
Good to have you here. Thank you, everyone, for watching. Next week, we are going to have a simple strategy to lower temperatures and open up miles of new habitat. And we're going to have the analysis of our senior market analyst, John Roach. Thank you so much for watching. And I also want to say before we go, please subscribe to our new Market Insider newsletter. You can find that on our website, and we'll tell you all the inside details of what's happening on the show. We'll see you next time. Thanks for watching. Bye-bye.